This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and right now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Hope you all have enjoyed the content today.
I have.
Good. Do you know who Sean McDermott is?
Yeah. NFL head coach.
He's the head coach for the Buffalo Bills. 877-881-1053. If you had a chance to hitch a ride with a coach and you're riding from, let's say you're going to Austin from Dallas. All right. You're going to go from, I don't know how far Buffalo and Pittsburgh are from each other, but let's say you have a chance to ride from Austin to Dallas. Which coach do you want to ride with and why? Let me explain, Kevin.
And did you say, well, I think, does it have to be NFL or can it be any
coach? It can be any coach. And you can say a DFW. Like, okay. For me, honestly, I'm having a hard time deciding right now between three of the coaches in DFW. But I want to go fishing with Boach now that I know that he likes to fish redfish. So that's going to be awesome. This is Sean McDermott talking. I do believe this is with Barstool. And this is a pretty interesting little conversation about how he rode with a fan from Pittsburgh to Buffalo.
Yeah, no, so check this out. So we were flying out of Atlanta. We get canceled, which many flights get canceled these days, right? And so in true Buffalo fashion, we're flying standby, and my daughter and myself are like, we're like number 19 and 20 of like 40 people trying to fly standby to get back to Buffalo. And of course, we don't make it, but there's only three people that made it. And each time that person's name got announced, in true Buffalo fashion, people were clapping in the gate for them. Like usually it's feast or famine. Like everyone's just trying to, you know, hey, give me your pass to get on board. And everyone's clapping for people who are making it, right? There was a young mother and her young child. And so everyone's feeling good about them. And then the rest of us are saying, hey, do you want to drive back? We're kind of teaming up again in Buffalo fashion. And then we end up flying to Pittsburgh. And that's the story you read. And so my daughter and I are going to Pittsburgh, and someone comes into the gate, and this Buffalo fan, and he says, hey, how are you getting back from Pittsburgh to Buffalo? And I said, we got a car, which it was hard to get. I mean, usually, especially late at night.
Right.
And so we get this car, and I wait for him in the baggage area, and off we go. He sits in the front next to me. My daughter's in the back. Eventually, she falls asleep, and we're driving 3 hours from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Buffalo, and talking about you name it, right?
That's
the
incredible.
Bills, his coaching career. He's a young coach, and I'm very passionate about it. And then, you know, he did tell me, he said, hey, I live right near you. And it turned out to be, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning, that's not 10 minutes away. It's not 15 minutes away. It's not right near me.
I thought
he meant like the neighborhood over.
Right.
You know?
He probably wasn't even from Buffalo. He just like,
he just went to a random house.
Yeah,
he
dropped off
the street close to my house.
I got to chill in the car with Sean.
But I think he has said his part of the story, and it was, I think, a cool thing for him. But I got to tell you, it was just as cool for me just to, you know, talk shop, talk to a Buffalo Bills fan and get his perspective on things. And that's again, what's unique to Buffalo, right?
There you go. Okay, that's tired about Buffalo. I get it. In true Buffalo fashion, Sean McDermott, you said it enough. I get it. Nobody, who even knows what true Buffalo fashion is except for somebody from Buffalo? That being said.
Throwing somebody through a table.
Jumping through a table on fire. Jumping into a hole. And disappearing. Isn't that what they were doing for a while? There was like some hole in Buffalo.
That's terrifying.
And they would just jump into it and they'd sacrifice humans in that hole for the playoffs.
I don't know.
Go look it up.
Give
me a second.
By the way, this guy that was riding with Sean McDermott, sounds like he and my wife should talk because her definition of something that's right there is also really far. She's like, oh yeah, the place we're going is right next to my mom's house, 20 minutes away. In what universe is that right next to where we are?
The sacrificial hole or pit refers to the deep construction pit where new Highmark Stadium for the Bills is being built. And during the playoffs, yeah, people were being thrown into it or jumping into it. And they were like just hanging out and stuff. Go back and check that story out. It was kind of weird.
Did they get to live?
I don't know, man.
Oh my God.
They call it the pit. Yeah, that's what it was. I have no clue what happened to the people after they went into the pit. I just don't know. I hope they're okay. Let us know
if you know, dude.
The Buffalo. Are you checking in on this story?
No. Like, just you saying this has thrown off. I know we're supposed to talk about something else.
Yeah.
And we will. And my answer is obviously Jim Montgomery because he knew how to party. But this is really throwing me off. Yeah. I had never heard about any of this.
Yeah, 877-881-1053. Which coach would you like to ride with? And again, this is a bit of a trip. Obviously, 15, 20 minutes is a little different too. But let's say
it's the round trip. People will be like, oh, it's 15 minutes away. But it's really 20 minutes away. And then you got to drive back. And now it's 40 minutes.
Yeah, plus I might need gas.
Yeah.
And that's going to take 10, 15 minutes. So I've gone through it, Kevin. I went through this with you this morning in my mind also. Bochy, I think, is one of the clear favorites because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know there's a version of Bochy that likes to have a good time. He's talked to us about how he likes Weller, and he likes to fish. And there are a lot of things about Boch that I think are appealing. And I think I could talk about a variety of things with him on the drive and learn a lot. You know, that's one of the things that Matt Hicks has had a really good opportunity to talk about a lot of different things with Bochy off record. And he's like, man, he's just a wealth of knowledge. He just has all these stories that he could really dive into. I know when he hops on with us, he said it the other day, sometimes, you know, people want you to be about business. And sometimes we're like, no, not really. We're okay with that. But we saw what happened with Tony Romo and Cabo. So we understand.
For sure.
But then I started thinking, okay, how freaking cool would it be to ride with Jason Kidd? First question, did you stab Luca in the back? Obviously, like that's the first question. And then when he's like, no, I didn't. Then you say, all right, now let's have some more talks. Dude, his stories about the things he's seen in NBA locker rooms and just talking basketball with him. Dude's won a championship. He's won gold medals. He's coaching a team that's been to the Western Conference Finals and the Finals. His basketball brain is bigger than any of ours. And so, like, that would be so much fun. But then there's Pete DeBoer, who does not have his championship yet. Mm. And don't you feel like you're going to get that rant from him about what it's going to take? When I watch post-game shows with Pete DeBoer, I feel like I'm watching a dude that can coach a hockey league out in Plano, you know, a bunch of six-year-olds, but also coach the best. He's one of those guys that can relate to anybody from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like Pete DeBoer would be a fantastic talk. And now that he has, you know, a top 10 elite player on the team, plus this completely balanced and stacked team, I'd love to pick his brain about it. Obviously, that's very in the moment. And Bochy is the number one for me.
Alec? I've already given my answer. It's Jim Montgomery. Yeah, what say you?
That's a weird answer because you don't like to party.
Is it? Look, man.
Doesn't mean he doesn't like to watch.
I'm going to tell... What?
The party.
Oh.
You go to parties and sit around.
I'm going
to
tell you this. There are times now where I feel like I'm getting drawn closer and closer to making one particular night of bad decisions and being like, hey, let's just try it out. My wife is usually, she puts a damper on that. She's like, we're not doing that. Where would you even get that? And I'm like, I can have that here in 20 minutes.
What are you talking about? Like whiskey?
Yeah.
See, nope. here's the thing.
There's always specs nearby.
Here's the thing I say with Kevin. If you're gonna drink one night, drink so much that you hate it, and then you'll never drink. After all this time, you would be like, you know what? I didn't even like it. That would be the perfect way to go about it.
Okay, I got you.
That's actually solid advice there, Corey Majors. The first one that came to mind for me was Sean McVay. Mm. And for a few different reasons. One.
Oh, Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah. He could help me find someone. That'd be cool. You know, and they would actually be my
age. Yeah, y'all dating the same demographic.
They would actually be my age. That would be amazing. No, Sean McVay came to mind because, one, he's won. So I can talk to him about, you know, the process of, one, coming up through the NFL and all of that and learning what it was like, you know, being an assistant in the Shanahan tree and all that. But two, like, how cool is it to win a Super Bowl when you're, like, barely even 35 years old or whatever? Like,
in L.A.
Yeah, in L.A. Yeah. Like, that's got to be amazing. You're, like, you're in the prime of your life winning big-time football games. You've got some of the best players that you've ever seen play football on your teams in that era. You got to coach Aaron Donald, you know? And then, two, I mean, just look at him. Like, he's freaking shredded. I could get his workout routine from him.
Oh, yeah, that's how he texts me your routine.
Yeah, I'd totally steal that from him, and he'd probably tell me the stories of, like, hey, you know, I've got these Instagram models in my DMs, but I'm married, so, you know, I'm going to go ahead and slide them your info. You know, that'd be amazing.
Being the guy that gets the runoff is perfectly okay whenever it's Sean McVay.
You know, it's really funny that you say that, because there's actually been multiple times with, like, fighters that we've covered that I joked with some of our reporters back in the day. I was like, you know, if that person wins the belt and wins that title, like, you just need to be there and it's going to be time to say what's up.
From the 425, new auction item for Peace-a-thon, bid for one wild night of bad decisions with Kevin.
All right. I think we can tell this story now. I feel confident.
And a lot of people are going, oh, Cocaine Kevin's back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was never here. I don't. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Right, Kevin? All right. So we tried to pull the trigger a couple years ago on a weed-smoking experience with Ricky Williams. Now, right. Look, I swear to God, this is true. We got authorization from the people involved, like Ricky Williams and his representatives and some other folks who I'll double check with them if they want to be mentioned. We got,
they were like, absolutely. Yes, it was a great idea.
We got authorization for all of this, that we could auction off for Peace-a-thon, smoke weed with Ricky Williams. I swear to you, that is true.
Yes.
It turns out in the corporate environment, there were some issues that came along with that. And we could not get it to the table. We could not get it on the auction website. But I promise you, I really thought we had a shot at this.
Dude, that thing, and I think we both thought, that's a $10,000 thing right
there.
Unbelievable. Somebody's going to want that so badly. So.
Yes. And like, it was approved. It was approved in terms of getting it set up. It was done. Like, we had it set up. And then corporate's like, you're out of your mind.
From the, somebody did say that's terrible advice for me to tell you. So, you know, whatever advice is good for you.
You don't need to get a prayer chain for me. I appreciate it. I'm fine.
Greg Popovich from the 682. I've seen that multiple times. Ron Washington.
Oh, man.
Because I get down too from the 6512. Ron Washington's got to have stories. Like, we've talked about Ron Washington plenty of times. He's an absolute blast. Somebody said not Tom Landry, but the ghost of Tom Landry.
No, no, no.
And Kevin?
No.
On the line right now.
Shut the hell up.
I'm just
up.
Joking. We don't have
Oh my God.
That would have been hilarious.
I was seriously about to freak out. I hated that so much.
Kevin, I'm watching you.
My God, you sound just like him too. I hated that.
Rick Pitino from the 817.
Man.
Jimmy Johnson, hands down, from the 469. Dude, Jimmy Johnson, first off, fishing with Bochy would be fun.
Yeah.
Fishing with Jimmy Johnson is, he does it every day. He walks out of his house onto his pier, goes to his boat, and goes fishing for tuna or mackerel or whatever. He's always just fishing, and he's always taking new people out there on the boat with him. I'd love that.
When is the ghost of Tom Landry coming back? Never.
Kevin Hagelin.
No! And like, seriously, Mike was giddy all day. I had no idea what he was going to do. And just all of a sudden, randomly in Gridiron, he decided it's time. And it was the ghost of Tom Landry. And I was like, wait, what? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a fishing trip with Bochy. He likes us.
Dude.
There might be some insurance concerns that come along with that, but we can work on it.
I would totally bid on that. I don't know if I could have enough money, but I would need to get all my friends in on to bid on that.
Yes.
Because I would do it.
Yes.
Dude, can we ask him? I got to ask him next week. Yeah. Boch. No, I can't ask him on air. We have to ask him off air.
Probably for the best. Him. Although, the tactic of asking on air does put a lot of pressure on that person.
We did it to Jerry, and he was like, I'll send you guys a bottle.
Yeah, and he did.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I always think about that with people.
He's like, I don't want to autograph it, though, because I don't want to drive the price down.
True. I always think about that with people who get engaged at like a sporting event. I wonder what percentage of those women after the fact are like, are you out of your freaking mind?
Sometimes the wives are the ones driving it. They're like, you better get that. You better win this prize.
Okay. Fair.
I want to go to Wisconsin. I've got to go to Sheboygan.
Is that the end of the segment?
And that's the C block, ladies and gentlemen.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's feels, me.
Stop it! Feels like
sounds
an
like Mike, not
apropos transition right here. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports, pop culture, ghost of Tom Landry opinion? Also, we will talk with FC Dallas forward Bernard Camongo next right here on The Fan.
Hartenstein screen, Shea, jumped out by Brown. Kills Alexander, five to shoot. Angle left fires a three that's online. Got it! Sir King of Thunder, Money Ball, Thunder by six, oh baby! 47.4 left.
I don't know, Corey, what the hell happened in the middle of that.
Did he say Thunderball in there somewhere?
Maybe.
He play that. Hold on. Play that again right there at the end.
He might have also said Bernard Camongo, who's our guest from FC Dallas at 1:30.
Okay.
I think he could have.
Okay. All right.
Angle left fires a three that's online. Got it. Sir King of Thunder, Moneyball, Thunder by six. Oh, baby. 47.4 left.
Okay. I might have
Thunder
heard
Thunder by six. Okay. That's what I heard.
So the Thunder up in that series 3-2. They have a chance to close it out tomorrow against the Nuggets. Tonight, Timberwolves and Warriors. The Timberwolves are 10.5-point favorites, which would close that series out 4-1 if they win. Pacers already in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then also tonight, Knicks and Celtics, with the Knicks having an opportunity to move to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll talk with Bernard from FC Dallas in just a few minutes. But right now, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Now, does your friend have a terrible sports or a pop culture opinion? There was a whole lot of other things I wanted to talk about. But then Corey brought a story to my attention, and this has lived in my brain for the last 4 hours since you told me about it. It is the saga of Ilya Kovalchuk, the former NHL player.
Take the whole segment, I promise.
Yes. I have not stopped thinking about this. So there's a report out there from Hockey News Hub, sounds legitimate, that Ilya Kovalchuk has run into a lot of driving infractions in the last year and a half. Alec, I'm going to throw it to you. How many driving infractions in the span of a year and a half would you consider a lot?
A lot would probably be 3 for me.
What if it's like a really a lot?
10?
185.
All right.
So in the last year and a half in Russia, Ilya Kovalchuk has been charged with illegal parking 24 times, not complying with the requirements of signs and markings, which kind of feels like illegal parking as well, 46 times, and caught speeding 115 times, all right? All of these infractions happened in the span of 498 days.
Jeez.
So I believe that was 185 infractions. That means he gets a ticket or arrested or whatever less than every 3 days. Now, Alec?
At some point you have to admit you have a problem.
Okay. Do you, though? because I'm with you on this until I learned how much he had to pay. He has had to pay a total of 264,000 rubles. How much do you think that is in dollars?
Like $100, something like that.
It's more than that, but not as much as you would think. $4,600, which means every infraction he gets, including those for speeding, it's just a touch below $25.
Huh.
How many times have you been a place where you could pull up and you're like, I got to go run in, run out. There's nowhere to park. I would pay $25 on a ticket if I could just park my car right here and just run inside and just come right back. The answer's not zero.
Yeah. I'd pull right up into the doorway. You know, I just, at that point, if they're going to only charge me $25, I'd pull up in the door through so that I could open my door, get out. Nobody else can get in until I back out and I'm out of there with whatever it is I need to buy.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
And telling people also, hey, y'all better get me to the front of this line quick at the cash register. Otherwise, that door's going to be holed up for a long time.
It's so I agree with you.
That's a problem, dude. That dude. And but that's not so the fine isn't enough. That fine's not clearly not enough to keep that dude from saying, hey, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So when you said it's a problem, I'd be like, it's a problem until I found out they were charging me $25 per. And I'm like, well, he played in the NHL. He's probably got money.
Probably so.
Now, more serious issue, although that is a very serious issue, so I shouldn't say it like that. A more serious legal issue is facing Kyle Snyder. He is the...
Kyle Yeomans.
No, I don't want him attached with this.
Okay, sorry.
He won gold at the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games.
I like the way you said it first.
And... he was arrested on Monday as part of a prostitution sting.
Oh.
So, according to the Columbus Police Department, Snyder responded around 8:15 to a fake internet ad that law enforcement had posted in an effort to catch people looking to illegally pay for sex.
Was it his first time?
I don't know about that.
You should say it was.
Okay, yes, but he's facing 16 charges, or excuse me, 16 total people got charged with this. He won gold in 2016. He won silver in 2020. He's not a hideously ugly human being. It seems like he could figure this out, but also just last week, he had signed up to participate in Hulk Hogan's Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Which they said they're going to have maybe a couple streaming services are vying to get the rights. And so, like, this was one of their dudes, gold medalist. Then he got busted for trying to get prostitutes.
Gold medals, man. Go straight to your head.
I also don't know the monetary system with the medals. I've heard it before. But, like, I don't think you, hopefully for some people, but probably not everyone comes out of the Olympics if they want a gold medal. And they're like, I'm set for life.
Dude.
I can do whatever I want.
I guarantee you, if I won a gold medal, I would walk around and expect free stuff all the time. I'd walk into 7-Eleven and be like, this is my Sprite. Well, and they'd be like, I'm sorry, sir, you have to pay. And I'll just be like, see this gold medal? I did it for America.
I mean,
the cops get free stuff at 7-Eleven. Is that true, by the way, police?
We established yesterday I'm going to be lenient with the take a penny, leave a penny. So if you came in, if you had your Olympic gold medal, I would pay for your Sprite.
You would?
Yeah. If you came into my 7-Eleven with your Olympic gold medal, I'd be like, all right.
What if I go to your restaurant and I order steak? I order some sushi. I get the ice cream or the cake with the fireworks on it.
Yeah, I would definitely do that because I'm operating a Chili's Applebee's restaurant where the most expensive thing we have is like $17.99. I can take that hit. But if it was Nick and Sam's, probably
what you do, Kevin, is you just take video of me eating with my gold medal and then you post it on your TikTok and you just made your money back by posting gold medalists eating at my restaurant.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
And here I am sitting there. I'm not even using a fork. I'm using the metal to eat. I'm digging in.
And then could I call it?
You've been to Nick and Sam's with us before. You know. Yeah.
I could call it our gold medal steak.
Exactly.
Or gold medal cake or whatever.
Whatever you want to call it, dude. It's my gold medal.
All right. Do you think they're going to be able to enforce this?
Sounds like it might be a minute, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text.
15,000 Argentinian fans are going to be banned from the World Cup. The Argentinian security minister has discussed this, which that's a badass title, has discussed this with the United States Embassy in Buenos Aires, and they put together a list of 15,000, quote, violent soccer fans who will be banned from all stadiums during the upcoming World Cup.
All right. That's how they got that list together. Pretty impressive.
A lot of dang
people,
man.
It is a lot
man.
Of people. And I wonder how, like, did they already have these people banned? And they were, like, around other stadiums around the countries. And they were just like, hey, we're going to collect your lists. Or if they were going through this with facial recognition software and they're like, that person looks violent.
And so I'm going to assume they're going to be, my apologies, I'm going to assume they're banned from the real World Cup. This is for Club World Cup.
Oh, okay.
And that's a junior tournament.
God, even still.
And
that's serious, bro.
That feels even more concerning. Like, we have to ban you from the World Cup. I get that. We have to ban you
from the Junior World Cup.
From the Club World Cup. And you're like, you might have a real problem.
Yeah, because you're out here yelling at 7-year olds. Like, what's going on?
True. Now, staying in the world of soccer, you know it's bad when FIFA says you're doing something wrong. All right?
Because they don't care.
They're like, whatever. FIFA has accused utter negligence towards the migrant workers in Saudi Arabia. They're getting ready for the 2034 World Cup. And two leading human rights groups have accused FIFA of not taking this seriously. So now FIFA's like, hey, not cool, y'all.
Because they got accused of something?
Yeah. And then people are like, well, who's the y'all? Aren't you guys the ones in charge of it? And they're like, no, yeah, we're working on it with the thing. Like, you ever see somebody like, hey, get busted?
Who's ahead of this committee right now?
Yeah, and they say they have a program coming up, but they can't really give you the details of the program. That's kind of what it feels like with FIFA right now. We're the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's stay on the pitch and talk with FC Dallas forward Bernard Camongo. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing excellent. I was hoping for people who aren't familiar about it, and I have to admit, I learned a lot more over the last couple of weeks about it. If you could tell us kind of like your journey to even get into soccer, going back to the refugee camp in Tanzania.
Yeah, definitely. My journey, you know, hasn't been an easy route, obviously. You know, it's I had to fight through it since, you know, from a young age, playing soccer from, you know, in a refugee camp. And, you know, soccer used to be my escape route, you know, just try to be happy and not, you know, overthinking of anything, just living a moment.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, until I came to the state and got opportunities to obviously go to school here and then play professional soccer here, it's, you know, it all just, you know, seems right as soon as I got to America.
I was hoping you could walk us through for people who don't know. I know this is nowhere near as impactful as your story, but I have the opportunity once a week to volunteer with a refugee group, and we work on learning English, learning the language, and different stuff like that. I was curious if you can walk people through like how important some of these organizations are that try to help out refugees.
Yeah, no, this is huge. You know, every organization that just help out people in any kind of way, they're very important because you don't know who you're helping until, like, you know, you're helping the future without you knowing. You know, obviously, you know, if I wasn't in a refugee camp, if I wasn't helped with those, you know, organization that were helping people in Tanzania at the time, I don't think I'll be where I'm at right now. So it's very important to obviously have this organization helping people. And just, you know, there's a lot of talented people out there. I'm not just speaking on myself, but I'm speaking about other people that have different talents and need to be recognized one way or another. So everyone need opportunities, and this organization bring out the best of, you know, a lot of people around the world. And I would just hope people just keep going, helping as much people as they can, because it's really important in this life.
I was hoping you could walk us through if this is factually accurate. I read that perhaps unbeknownst to your parents, you quit school at the age of 11 to try to help make some money for the family. Is that accurate?
Well, something like that. It's pretty much accurate. I had to, because I remember back in the refugee camp, there was not much going on. Even, you know, we look up to our people ahead of us, like older brothers and people like that. You know, they'll graduate, have their degrees, but they just don't have work, and they're just there, they're broke, they can't afford anything. So it was not a good image for somebody that as young as me going to school, knowing that I'm just going to school and, you know, not knowing that if I'm going to get a job or not. So at the moment I had a few opportunities, obviously, that, you know, I kind of work my way through it, and then I found a way to, like, just make a few dollars, and I was like, you know, why not? Let me just try these at the moment and see if I can help the family before I could just move on with something else different.
That's so cool, and it's so cool to hear how soccer had such a big impact on your life. As far as... Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, I heard y'all had some barbecue today. What do you know?
Oh!
Was it brisket, sausage? What do y'all have today?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of type of meat. We had a red meat. We had brisket. We had sausage. And all these things, it's just amazing. You know, barbecue in Texas is what we do.
What's your favorite specific type of barbecue?
Yeah, you get a three-plate meal. Yeah. What are you getting?
Oh, actually, I had the red meat. I don't know if you know what that is. That's what I had, and it's really amazing. With some, you know, obviously mac and cheese on the side. It was, you know, not crazy.
Do you think mac and cheese can go with pretty much everything?
Yeah,
me
it's
too.
Amazing. It's spectacular. I'm good carbs and some fats involved. Yeah, especially for a body like that out there playing some soccer.
Well, while we're building you up, how are we feeling about the Houston game this weekend? Because I know you guys got the draw against Salt Lake, but it has been a tougher go at times for the team this year at Toyota Stadium. How are we feeling going into the Houston match?
And everyone is excited, you know, from the players all the way to the staff. Everyone is ready to take on and this next opportunity coming out at home. And we know how important it is to win a home game. Obviously, we have a whole week to prepare ourselves and, you know, put ourselves in the best condition we can to win a game. And we believe that, you know, this home game, we're going to take 3 points for sure because it's a must. We're not thinking about a draw or anything else. We're not taking anything less than 3 points. And yes, like you said, you know, it's been a little hard, you know, playing at home and get, you know, not getting the points that we deserve or we want. But at the same time, we can't put our heads down. We try to keep our heads up and just keep fighting for more points we can get from home.
Did you guys train at like 6 o'clock this morning since it's already going to be so hot today?
Yeah, we actually showed up with like 2 hours earlier than normal. So yeah, it was a little early. It was a little early training today.
Man, thank you so much for the time, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with everybody. It really is a very cool story. Thank you very much, Bernard.
No, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. There you go. Bernard Camungo right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, Corey, and I know this is what you were curious about.
FC Dallas players were at the Stars game last night.
Yes, that is true, including one.
As Gina told us last week they would be.
Absolutely. By the way, this Saturday, for that match, first 5,000 fans go to Toyota Stadium and they'll get an FC Dallas bandana.
What?
So it is Wild West night.
That is
on
Colby's
Saturday
night right there.
Man, that is true. By the way, Frank Provenzano responded to me when we were talking. He goes, oh, yeah, I totally remember you. I love you, man. You're the guy who wore the bandana, right? And
I love Frank.
Oh,
he loves bits.
He does love bits. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Heggy, we are rolling. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing okay. I was better before Boach gave us the information about Corey Seager. And I said, anytime it's retroactive on the IL, I hope they can come out of the IL straight away. And he goes, I mean, anything is possible, but realistically, he said they were going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks and he could be out 3 or 4 weeks. Then he told the story about how he was out 5 weeks in 2023 and that turned out okay. And so now I'm just like, okay, so it's going
to
be.
Do you want to stop asking questions?
He did a great job. He laid the groundwork.
He did. He really did.
Just be prepared. Hey, if it needs to be 3 or 4 weeks, yeah, we're going to let it. We want to get this thing right.
Now,
at least it's not a Jason Tatum situation, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, he's not going to play next year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, maybe the very end, yeah. I guess, if they can manage to still be a playoff team.
And they have a huge tax bill coming, so I'm excited and curious to see what the hell the Celtics do in this offseason.
Done.
They're going to change. You think they're going to just...
Yeah, blow it up.
Yeah. I mean,
new ownership, right?
Get there? The Mavs Drew Holiday.
Oh, okay.
I'd love it.
Would you trade PJ Washington?
They want a point guard. That's
I think
sure.
so.
Okay.
You need more of a backcourt than a frontcourt right
do.
Now.
So I agree.
I would not be in a hurry to trade PJ Washington, but if you could get the PJ Washington equivalent as a guard. And,
okay. Yeah. Which I kind of oddly think that might be it right there.
Look at Plano's own Seth Jones.
That's hey, right. Seth.
Hey, Seth.
Are we interviewing him in a closet? What are we doing up here?
I just went Brian brought us on you. I'm sorry. You can't
chasing
see that.
TV squirrels.
That's okay.
If you're driving around listening.
Now, I know the news came out yesterday from Tim McMahon.
You do have to point out when Jackson Dart's parents are on the screen, though. That's important.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point.
That is a weird room that
there's
he's
his mom
in.
Right there.
Yeah. She's milking. Look
how
hot she is.
That is
She's
a man.
Smoking.
Oh, wait. That's Tim Bontemps. I'm sorry.
Oh, damn.
Do I need to go look up
He's a good
Jackson
dude, by
Dart's
the way.
Parents?
You should look up the
if you haven't seen him already,
Dawson
ESPN
loves
was just,
it when they are on TV. He's a big fan of the parents.
Draft weekend was just Mel Kiper ranting about Shador, and then here's Jackson Dart's mom and brother and sister and family and cousins. Back to Mel Kiper.
Back
Boom,
to
let's
Dart.
Go to the living room of Dart.
Okay.
Where's Shador going to end up? Well,
Woo,
let's go to Jackson Dart's
mom.
Family.
Check in with Jackson Dart's mom, see what she thinks about Shador.
Holy crap, there's Tanner Shuck's girlfriend. Back to Shador.
All right,
that is a classic brunette mom right there, too. Yeah.
We heard news yesterday. Tim McMahon said the Mavericks aren't going to screw around. They're going to draft Cooper Flagg.
Uh-huh. It was a relief.
Yes, it was. But also, if you look at the Giannis trade odds, the Mavericks are still sixth on that list. Now, they're behind San Antonio, which I think makes a lot of sense, and Houston. Now that we know it wouldn't happen, would you have done the trade of Cooper Flagg for Giannis straight up? I realize the money involved, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's not worry about that for the moment.
No, I don't think anybody on our show would, right? I think we all felt pretty good about the flag.
Gavin Dawson.
I could be talked into
it. Yeah, I was going to say.
Didn't I walk us through that, though,
you
yesterday?
You did, and I didn't
You held
like
our
it.
Hands and everything.
Yeah, I kind of walked our team through that whole thing about the how you could have navigated.
He walked us across the street navigating, and he didn't trip like he did in the Avis parking lot. I mean, it was just a smooth walk across the street, and I think we all came to the conclusion we wanted Cooper.
What if I went in a totally different direction and I said, you're going to take the package that you got for Luka and trade that for Giannis?
See, now that was the other one he teed up.
But we can keep Luka.
We get Luka back, right?
We still lost Luka for Giannis.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah, I'd have done that.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now we have Giannis and Cooper.
I would just much rather have Giannis.
We just don't have Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I was trying to get these guys to take Giannis, knowing that you know what he is, the type of player,
yeah.
instead of Flagg.
Yeah.
And they were like, not going for it.
I'm with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's still really good defensively, but I think much like Anthony Davis, his defense has diminished a little bit the last couple of years.
Halliburton took him to the rack for the game winner in one of those games.
You don't want to be taken to the rack.
That's true.
How much you don't want to get racked either.
Very good. The biggest concern, though, is you got two different eras happening, and they're on different timelines.
No, I get you.
Yeah,
that's
fair. I mean, you see what it is,
I
right?
Do.
So do you want to force? Do you want to force the resetting of the timeline, or do you want to lean into even more the 2 year, 3 year window?
It sounds
that you
like
just
you
want to
lean into it.
Well, could you not have the best of both worlds here? I mean, you know Cooper Flagg probably better than any of us, being a Duke fan and having watched him the most. Yeah, is that not a player that you think can be an instant impact as the number one pick with what you currently have right now?
Yeah, and so that's why I think the best move is actually to do nothing and to not choose yet. But I might choose to go super young in February.
Okay.
You know, February.
All right.
If it's not looking good, I'd be in on that.
Yeah, if it's not looking good, I'm going young at the trade deadline.
And people were asking kind of the floor and the ceiling, but if you ask... If you ask the ceiling, I'm gonna
wonder where the
terrible radio favorite thing.
What's Let me tell you about the floor and the ceiling.
Yeah,
terrible.
He's never
radio.
Really understood it.
It's just terrible.
And then there's another person who's persisted every day that Cooper Flagg is Keith Van Horn, and I'm like, Cooper Flagg at this second can play infinitely better defense than Keith Van Horn ever could in his entire career.
Those socks, though, man. Yeah. I'll never forget that look.
Do you think
sharp?
Do you think that the NBA is praying that Indiana doesn't make it to the NBA Finals?
Hell yes, they are.
What a boring place.
Get them, Rick.
Is that what the prayer is when you word it?
Yeah, the Knicks.
Well, right. Do you word it towards give us the Knicks, not we don't want the Pacers?
Dear Lord. Please give us the Knicks.
Yeah. We have respect for all teams positive. And individuals in the world, yeah, but we would prefer MSG.
Yeah. Adam Silver's on the phone right now. Get me the team that rigged the draft. We need to get them on the playoff rigging now.
It's already been rigged.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. A lot of sports coming up here over the next 4.5 hours. Including everything.
Sounds like you guys got a bunch of jokes right now.
We're mailing it in.
Okay. All right. Do you have a guest that you can try your new non-interrupting style?
Oh, okay. Let's go, Swingers! Swingers! Water's better.
Miro.
Do yourself a favor. See if you can find the video of the last time. Zach was.
It wasn't Eric.
Eric was waving one of those towels.
Shout out to Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, there we go.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation.
Let's go, Rangers.
We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.